For the first time since the end of the Cold War, the U.S. Air Force is preparing to put nuclear-armed bombers on 24-hour ready alert. Former President George H.W. Bush took them off that status in 1991, and the show's Mark Brody is here with more on this.
Yeah, Steve, Marcus Weisgerber has written about this. He's global business editor for Defense One, and I asked him what exactly this status means.
So that what they're doing is they're taking a number of steps to be ready now. One thing that was kind of, when this story came out, a lot of people thought that this actually, the order had been given to go on alert, and it hadn't. And we made that clear in the story. One thing they're doing is they're updating facilities. What they've done is the bombers have not been on alert since the end of the Cold War in 1991. Then President Bush took them off of the alert status, in which if the order was given, they'd sleep in like a little shelter, a house, if you will, next to the runway. And they'd run out to their planes, which were loaded up with weapons at right outside, jump in and take off and go and fly whatever mission they were told to do. Now, those facilities since 1991 have largely deteriorated because they have not been on an active alert. So what we've seen now is, and what I saw when I was down at Barksdale Air Force Base last week, is that one of these alert shacks are being, it's being redone. It's being updated. They're putting in beds. They're putting in TVs. They're putting in internet for the airmen who have to sit there all day and all night. Now, what they stressed to me was, right now, the bombers are not on alert, but that there's an anticipation of that order down the road, possibly, as North Korea continues to make provocative nuclear threats to the United States, and Russia continues to make threats as well and modernize its nuclear forces.
So are those the two countries that are sort of leading to this preparation to potentially go back on 24-hour alert?
They are. And, you know, so one of the things that kept coming up, so I spent 6 days with General Dave Goldfein. He's the Air Force Chief of Staff. And we went to four bases across the country that all do this nuclear mission. And one thing he kept doing and stressing the whole time is that deterrence, the act of, you know, preventing nuclear war, is not the same as it was during the Cold War, where it was just the United States and the Soviet Union. And that was it. Now you have other players like North Korea, like China, which has nuclear weapons as well, and others who have ambitions to have nuclear weapons. And deterrence, just because we've done things one way for the last 50 years, aka have bombers that have nuclear weapons, have intercontinental ballistic missiles that have nuclear warheads on the fronts of them, and nuclear submarines that go under the water and can basically hide anywhere and launch a nuclear attack, just because we've always done it like that doesn't mean that that's the right way to do it moving forward. So one of the things that General Goldfein stressed during all of his, what they call all calls, where basically the whole base of folks all come out, is he stressed, please think of new ways, because we need to think of as an Air Force of new ways to do deterrence in this 21st century, which is different from the way it had been done for decades.
Now, you've talked about this as maybe a way of practicing deterrence. I'm wondering if there are some countries that might look at this another way and see this as a form of saber rattling.
You know, it's certainly, from being there and seeing it all, it certainly seems like that. And now, but if you talk to the generals in charge of actually of this stuff, they have to of these nuclear weapons, they will say, you know, our job is to be prepared for anything, and our job is to defend the United States. Our job is to defend our allies. So they look at it more as we're being prepared. And by us being prepared, it will in turn deter others from even thinking of attacking the United States.
How expensive an operation is it to prepare to put these back on 24-hour alert? And then if that order comes, how much would that cost?
So the alert itself, it's not all basic stuff, but it's stuff like upgrading, you know, painting, putting new roofs on the buildings, upgrading the lighting and TVs within the facility, and the communications. And that's actually a huge part, the communications. And then there's also the other projects to buy actually new ICBMs and new nuclear cruise missiles. Those are expected to cost tens of billions of dollars each, collectively hundreds of billions of dollars. And there's estimates that when you take into account that the military is buying new stealth bombers and new nuclear submarines, which that actually is their sole mission, it's going to cost $1 trillion, possibly more. There's all sorts of estimates out there. So it's incredibly expensive. And one of the big things right now in Congress and just the government, federal government as a whole, is that the budget is capped. The defense budget is capped. the big question facing Pentagon leaders right now is they know they have to do this because the current stuff is old and they need to buy something new, but it's how to actually pay for it.
If an order comes to go to 24-hour alert, is that in the military community seen as an indication that something might be pending, or is that just further looking to practice deterrence?
The big thing is that they will say that it's to practice deterrence. It is to actually prevent that. But no doubt it's an escalation of the way things are right now.
So not necessarily like a nuclear war is coming, but also not necessarily a nuclear war is not coming.
Right. And that's kind of the way it was during the entire Cold War when this was going on. You know, it was kind of this could happen. It may happen. But hopefully it won't happen.
Marcus Weisgerber is Global Business Editor for Defense One. Marcus, thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me.